Good evening. Okay, we're starting. I hope you're all well. We're starting Be'ezer Hashem tonight, Simon Tov Samachay. I would like to complete it, Be'ezer Hashem. Dine Murson be Pesach, the halacha of Murson on Pesach. What's that? The Murson is bran. Bran. So, the halacha is Enshoirin Murson letane goylim. We don't soak bran letarnegolim on the chickens, beshumponim, and under any circumstances. So, what is that really? So, I don't exactly understand what the purpose of that is, but it appears what was done was to take bran, which we're learning now, it's got the same halacha, then it's considered grain, it's considered something which can become chametz. So the bran used to be soaked on the tarnegolim, on the actual chickens. I assume it was done for purpose, I suppose it was done for taste. I'm not exactly sure what the purpose for that exercise was, but let's assume it was for taste, to put the bran on the chickens. You know how to do that, because the bran has got the halacha, as Mishnah Berurah said, if cotton aleph and shoyin, you do not soak. Because it becomes chometz, like normal chometz, like normal grain, like normal wheat, this is becoming chometz. So the chiddush of it is that muson, which is bran, which is not really the main part of the grain, it's the exterior part. So nevertheless, that can also become chometz. But shum ponim, at any circumstance, that won't be. You cannot take the bran, and then that will become chametz. And even for a short amount of time, we assume that it will become chametz. V'loy choyltin continues the Shulchan Aruch. You're not to do chalita. Chalita. What is chalita? Chalita. Mishnah Berurah in second wide line explains. Loy choyltin chalita miki shematichin hamayim yofe yofe. When you boil water to very high temperature, you boil the water to extreme heat, and afterwards, you put the flour, you put it inside that boiling water. Now, normally we say that the chalita process, because of the heat of the bubbling water, is so great that whatever you're going to put in is going to burn and it will not become chametz. That is called chalita. Chalita generally is something which is so strong that actually doesn't become chametz when you do chalita. Chalita is bad and permitted. Happens to be the halacha lemaaseh, we don't do it because chalita is we're not bucky exactly when is something becoming chalita, when is something hot enough to be considered hot enough that it doesn't become chametz, when something reaches that temperature. We're not experts in that, therefore we generally don't allow chalita. Nevertheless, generally as a principle, chalita would be permitted in theory. Nevertheless, when it comes to muson, we don't allow chalita v'loy choltin. Why is that? V'after chalita in a machmitz, normally chalita is not machmitz, mikom mokom osim mishum she'en lo bikim b'chalita. We're not bucky, so when it comes to muson, for sure we answer it, we don't allow chalita. So here it is, that when it comes to muson, we've got, you don't allow to soak it onto the tarnegolim, onto the chickens. Additionally also, you may have wanted to do chalita with bran, but chalita is not permitted because we're not bucky when he actually becomes chametz. When you give the barley to the chickens, or the wheat to eat, you should be careful don't put the barley, the food which the chickens are going to eat, don't put it in a place, in a wet place, that would become chametz. Now this is actually a very great chumrah. We were talking about, just to take the barley, so you're talking about the grain, you're just placing it in front of the animals. And normally you'd say, well, it's not even flour, it's just grain, you put it in front of the animals, and it's there for the animals to eat. You're not allowed to do that, don't put it in a wet place, because if you'd place it in a wet place, we consider it likely to become chametz. It is a bit far-fetched, but Chazal b'chosh, the Ramos chosh is for that. The Mishnah in Sifkotin, hey, fourth white line, says Shlal Ashlichom, Hainu Mitchila Shesh, V'lamal that starts on Pesach. V'yesh Mishikosav, and some write, the Av Koidim Pesach, even before Pesach, Yesh Lizor Bazeh, you've got to be careful. Elohim Kain, unless Oymid Aleim B'Shas Achilosim, you literally stand on top of the situation whilst they're eating it, until you know that it's all finished eating, they've completed all the body's been eaten, everything's been eaten fully up, then it's fine. And what if you're on top of it and you see that everything which is being given to the animals is actually being eaten, that's fine. Because if there would be some leftovers there, perhaps it will become chametz, Pesach will go all the way until Pesach. So therefore the point is, if you give any food to the animals, to the chickens, you must ensure everything is eaten up. And if you're not 100% sure, then don't do that, because we're concerned that it's going to become chametz. By the way, this is a serious concern and challenge when it comes to the milk. The milking farms, even for us, the kosher milk, this is one of the concerns, because they've got to make sure that all the food they provide for the you can't just give them the cows. You have to make sure that what you give them doesn't become chametz. So even before, long before Pesach, they will start avoiding Pesach foods. And that's halacha what they do. The truth is that some of them, they do different deals. I know that some of them have moved over to actually not owning the farms in the first place, for various reasons, also for Shabbos and other reasons. It's actually contracts with Goyish farms, because we don't want to own the cows, we don't want to own the farms over Shabbos. So it's far easier for the businesses to actually rent the milk, or rent the cows rather, rent days, even if it's a majority of their business, but it's renting as opposed to owning. And for Pesach also, it would make it much easier, whatever the details of this contract is and of the deal is, because it was a challenge to actually stop feeding them regular food. The Pesach food that they give the animals is far more expensive, and I understand it's also not that healthy. So therefore they in order to avoid all these complications, much easier if it's actually owned by Goyim. But again, if it's your cows and it's your business, you've got to ensure that you take away all the soyim, all the barley is removed, certainly by Pesach, even before Pesach, because you might become chametz otherwise. Okay, see, base. Ein oisha shofar mursnal besora. Also something which we're not quite familiar with nowadays is the smearing of bran. Again, it's halacha with regards to bran, to smear bran on the skin of a woman. I imagine this is for improving the skin. So to put bran on it would, I suppose, help in some way. You're not allowed to put bran on the skin. I feel you, obviously, if it's completely dry, you wouldn't be allowed to do that. With respect, the Mishnah Berurah says, in Sifkot Zayin, because the way was that people would go into the bathhouse to clean themselves and to shvitz, for loshav agup b'musan, and then to put the musan, to smear and to and to rub the bran onto the skin. Since there is sweat, and we'll be talking more about the halacha of zeh later, but then we suspect of it becoming chametz, and therefore it's osu. So this is again an application of the muson of the brand not being used on Pesach. Siv dalet im shiv shivu muson be'avoz lach mimayim. If you've got fowl, if you've got a bird, and you are here again, you are smearing the muson on the brand be'avoz lach on a wet fowl, which is wet, which has got moisture on it. Yesh misha oimer she'avoz. Also, once you have smeared some of this muson, some of this brand onto the bird, that also makes the avoz, the bird also. The reason for that is Mishnebu explains in Sifkot and Tes, fourth line from the top, Shavos also mipnei sheish ba be'oiro nikve, the skin of the bird, of the fowl, has got small holes, venisho shama muson, and therefore particles of the muson of the bran remains in those holes, v'afilim yitzel eshav shevach kach, and even if you want to clean and rub later the muson away, the bran, you want to take it away, nevertheless, v'ladicho, to clean it away, lo imahani, will not help, because there's small particles which will remain in those holes, and therefore it remains also, to not rub the bird with musan, because particles of chometz will remain in there. Continues the Ramona with an extreme chumrah. I believe it's a real chumrah. And I think that gives us a bit of an indication. I always feel when you learn halacha, we sometimes feel that what people actually do on Pesach is so far from what halacha requires. We've often seen that halacha is so much more lenient than the extreme measures that our households nowadays do on Pesach. There's such a vast difference between what halacha requires and what actually happens in our houses. Such a great distance. In a few instances, we find some very great, or may I even say radical, chumras. We see chumras which seem so far-fetched, which gives us an indication that actually chumras on Pesach was always very widespread beyond the halachic requirements. So this is black and white, one of those examples that we see that it looks so far-fetched, if I may say. Let's see. Top of page 132. Here, with regards to the fowl, to suspect on those little particles, that is something which we have a minik. Besides that, it continues. For Yeshli Zoya, we also have an additional chumra. What's the additional chumra? Straw. We don't take when you are actually cooking the to singe her oifois, the birds, percussion with straw. So what you want to do is that you have this heat source, and you have got a straw, which really is there to make the fire, to make the heat. You're not allowed to use that. Why? Shema, perhaps, yesham chitim, perhaps there is a bit of grain there. Or dogon mechomot, so there's something there which actually became chometz. V'yiten tam be'oifos, and it will give taste to the birds, b'shas ha'ivuv, whilst you're singeing. So the chumri is, do not singe oifois with straw. Why? Because the straw maybe contains parts that got wet, and therefore it might have become chametz. And if it got chametz, whilst you're singeing now, the bird, maybe there's going to be some chametz that is going to come from the straw onto the bird. This is it appears like a very distant chumra. Why? Because first of all, who says there is grain there? We're talking about straw. Second of all, why else is it distant? Why else? Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and who says there's grain there? We're talking about straw. Straw categorically becomes osso. Well, who says there's grain there? Even if there is grain, who says it got wet? Who says it became chametz? And even if it did get chametz, even if it did become chametz, who says that the tam will get there? By the way, how can the tam actually reach the bird? It can only reach the bird by touching. So you've got to have that additional qualifying condition as well, that actually the straw, which contains grain, which got wet, which became chametz, must have touched the bird. Very distant chashash. And nevertheless...
Can I just clarify something?
Sure.
Is there a prohibition to get hanor from chametz?
Yeah. Yes, but you're not getting any hanor from the chametz.
So, can I just go back two steps? You're speaking about putting cream from bran onto a person's body in order to make the skin moist. And you said that there was a chashash, you're concerned about going into a place where it was going to be very hot, and that could turn into chametz. Why do you even have to rely on going into this other steam area? Surely the bran on the skin itself is halacha.
Which halacha are you referring to?
Go back to halachas ago that you mentioned putting some type of bran cream onto a woman's body.
Yeah.
That would make the skin. Yeah. So if that itself is a problem because of that in itself should be a hanor, then why do you need to have the additional element of the steam merging together with the bran to become chametz?
It's because the steam makes you sweat.
Yeah. So therefore, what are you saying, Benjamin?
Therefore, it becomes chametz, the bran.
Yes, it does become chametz. The question is, why is this the... I'm trying to figure out what is the bigger chiddush. Brad says that surely the fact that is that you're getting benefit from it, that alone is also. And I'm trying to figure out why would that be... that? Why is that a bigger or lesser reason when we're learning over here that... I'm not sure what the big chiddush is. I mean, really, what we are learning over here is, you're right, in principle, there could be another reason why this is also too. What Shulchan Aruch is pointing out over here, and what Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, is really about the musan that we have got over here, halacha relevant to bran. That bran, not only if you're eating it, even if you're putting it as a paste on your skin, is also too. I think the element of the chiddush is the bran aspect of it, as opposed to the way it's being used. I'm looking at these halachas over here in the category of what actually are the elements which can become chametz. And here we're learning that bran is included in that. One of its application is when you put it on the body. So you are telling me that, you know what, it's poshut, because what you're saying, that it's poshut because you anyway got but the truth is that had you not known that Mulsan is chametz, then there would have been no issa anyway. There'd have been no issa in any of anything. If it's not chametz, we need this halacha to tell us that it actually becomes chametz. Does that make sense?
So the bran itself is not chometz.
It becomes a bran itself is something which can become chometz if it gets wet. See, bran itself, yeah, that's right. Bran itself is like grain itself is not chometz per se.
So then it's only the bran once it reaches the stage of mixing with the.
That's right. That's it. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for clarifying. Yes. Thank you for clarifying. Right. Going back to this lemma over here. So we've got this combination of this very distant chumah that you've got the straw which you're putting in front of the bird and you're using it to singe the bird. You don't have to do that because maybe the straw contains grain, which perhaps got wet, which perhaps became chometz, which perhaps is touching the bird, and therefore that's also. Says the Mishnah, once you've got yud base, shelo lehav lev chitim ay dogen mechumatz, perash shenoftel of maim lachash nitlash, perhaps this hay got water after it got harvested, when it's chametz, it became chametz. Again, if straw, obviously, hay gets wet whilst it's still growing, that's obviously no chametz because that's the way it grows. So we're talking about achash nitash after it got cut off, after it was harvested. Ve'iskimu achonim da'achonim, right? The kol zein lezirus be'almada is just a distant chumra, which is to be kept lechatchila. Havol meke adin, but meke adin afilu yimo yisham chitim, afilu this is a chumra, but really we don't look at it as a straw being chometz, unless you know it got chometz, but you don't look at straw being chometz. And if you know for sure there is chometz within the straw, we don't necessarily ask the kivan she'enu gea because the bird doesn't touch it. You're talking about it being used as fuel. So how on earth is it going to touch the bird? So it's not meikad, it's a chumra. Yes, that's what the Mishnah. Therefore, it's considered a chumra be'alma. It just gives us. Now, I don't know what that means for us in terms of generally looking at straw. When do we get in touch with straw? I mean, in other applications of straw that we have in our day-to-day lives, when we actually see straw, do we have to look at it as being chometz? Where do we get straw? I mean, just trying to think of.
Hay for the guinea pigs.
Yeah, that's right. Right. So hay.
Similar.
Yeah, that's right. So if you've got hay, that's a good one. Hay for the guinea pigs. Yeah, you've got hay. So do you have to look at it as being chometz? Do you have to look at it as being chometz? If it is, then you've got to look at it as being bali roi bali motza. And it's also, and you've got a, but normally you'd say, hey, it's not necessarily chametz, hey is hey. So chametz, but here we see that I believe there's probably a makor from here to look at generally to suspect that hey, it's a chumra, but it's something we do suspect that we've got to look at hey sometimes. Maybe it did get in touch with water, and therefore we've got to be machmir. Yeah, it's a chumra, but unless you're going to say it's only with regards to the birds, but I don't know. What do you think, Rabbi Tepp? What do you think?
And also, what's quite interesting, I'm not sure what the answer is, but what's interesting to observe is that it's brought here in connection with cooking.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, and I might be completely wrong here, whether that was more of a chashash than, let's say, if you're giving it for guinea pigs, which is, you know, you're not going to eat that.
I hear.
They might eat it, but you're not going to eat it.
Interesting.
You can't be learning from it either, but.
It's an interesting observation. I don't know. Interesting observation. Interesting. I don't know. Interesting. Any thoughts on that, Rabbi Isai? Do we need to assume as hay being chametz or not? Is this a general rule that we're seeing in the Rama over here? Or is it only specifically with regards to singeing the birds? It's a chumrah here, but is it to be applied elsewhere too, or only specifically here? I do not know. Rabbi Tepe suggests that maybe it's only with regards to eating that we suspect. So over here we're talking about, he suggests, it's a svara, it's a very nice svara, that perhaps only here...
Does that mean shum with the ophos?
No.
Eating chitim and it makes.
No, it's talking about the straw generally, that perhaps within the straw there is some chitim, my dog and mechumot. Within the straw, you've got that pile of straw, maybe that contains chametz. Maybe some is grain and some got wet and it became chametz. Correct. It's applied with regards to the singeing of the birds, but it's the chashash is within the straw. I don't know. I really don't know. Interesting shaila. Yeah, so Simon Tov Samach Vav. Does anybody have any thoughts? Reb Gideon, what do you taina? Reb Yossel, any thoughts on that? I don't know. What nekuda? The chashash? Did you hear our sofek? Can I repeat the sofek? Because I'm interested to know your opinion. We have over here Ramo. The Ramo tells us that do not use straw for singeing your oifus that you want to eat on Pesach. Use another heat source. Don't use straw. Why? Because when you're using straw, perhaps within your pile of straw that you're putting in on, perhaps some of it has grain and some of it maybe got wet. And whilst it got wet, it became chametz. And now that you're taking this, there's a bit of chametz in there, and you don't know anything about it. And now you're singeing your bird of it, you want to make it nice and geschmack for Pesach, and by mistake maybe the bird is touching some of it, and now what happened is that the bird became chametz from the straw which has grain, which got wet, which became chametz, which now is giving taste onto the bird. Wow! It's a very far-fetched chashash, but that is the chashash and the suspected concern of the Rama. So our question now is, and I don't know the answer, I honestly don't know the answer, we're now seeing that the Rama suspects of hay containing chametz when it comes to singeing your bird. Our question tonight, B'siach Tishmai, is this specifically with regards to this specific situation of singeing your bird? So when you singe your bird, don't use hay, use something else. Or are we learning a general rule that we need to suspect whenever there is hay, you might have chametz there, so be careful. Just, whatever the its implications may be. Don't feed, that was Rabbi Tepe's example, which I like very much. If you have hay to feed your guinea pig, don't, because it may contain chametz. Do you hear the suffix?
There's a Mishnah Brura here. I don't know if it answers our question directly, but it's quite interesting. He says that
which what are you with Daik? I don't see anything in Mishnah Brura there.
He
says it's a far-fetched chumrah. He says Mikael, then you don't have to worry about it. But now the Maisa, after the Rama, we are machmir. It's a chumrah, all right. And the Mishnah explains why it's a chumrah, because it's only a sofik, etc., etc., as we mentioned. So he might not touch the bird even. All right, so it's a chumrah. But now that we are makbid on this chumrah, what does this chumrah include? Beginning, what do you think? Why are you more inclined?
I've lost track.
All right.
too much animal stuff, I don't understand.
Okay. All right.
Rebecca.
Yes.
The Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of the Siman doesn't say anything. We say, well, you're not allowed to feed chickens and stuff. It only mentions bran and stuff. It doesn't mention anything about hay.
It's not. It's not muchach. The Ramah may have. What you're saying that the Ramah only says it over here, not the beginning, that seems to imply that it's only specifically with regards to the birds. Yeah, so I'll tell you why I don't necessarily agree with you, because the Ramah tends to add at the end of the siman, the Ramah in many places adds a few rules and halachas at the end, which it didn't exactly know where to put it. We find it very frequently that the Ramah adds general halachas at the end. We find that quite frequently. I don't know if you remember, there was a few. So it's not muchach what you're saying. I hear the diuk, I hear it, I value your diuk, but I'm not sure it's muchach, because the Ramah often will add, this also seems to be a general rule. So I don't know if he means to just add it at the end. I'm not sure if that's just, if it's not muchach l'choyre. Alright, okay. Just to summarize what we learned about not soaking brands on the chickens, not allowed to do chalita. Chalita is, as we mentioned, throwing bran onto boiling hot water. We don't do that. We don't exactly know when it reaches that heat. We learned also that you don't put chsoirim and chitim barley, etc., in front of the animals, because you might get wet and therefore become chametz. We also learned don't put bran on flesh to make the skin better. We learned also don't smear on the birds. And finally, we learned the Ramah, don't singe your bird with hay which might have become chametz in the past. Okay, tomorrow we learn a very, very important halacha about medicines on Pesach. Will be discussed tomorrow evening. Emet Hashem. So see you then, Bezer Hashem.